I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni, and as always, we are looking to give you the secrets that have helped others take their business, their lives, their careers to another level with public speaking. And these are the secrets that a lot of people won't tell you or you don't hear about that has allowed them to go from stuttering and stammering through a talk to confident, charismatic, engaging speakers. And today I have someone who fits all of the above. His name's Ruben Swartz, and he is the founder of Mimerin, which is a CRM company. And we'll dive into exactly what that is for those of you who don't know. But we're going to talk about how he's been able to develop his public speaking, but also how it's been able to benefit him as a business owner, a startup owner. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Victor. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I think let's get the big white elephant off out of the room before we get started. A CRM, so for those of us in the audience who don't know what that is, what exactly is a CRM?
Sure. CRM stands for Customer Relationship Management, and it means a lot of different things to different people. But the tool that probably most people have heard of is Salesforce.com, which is great if you're a big company with a huge sales team. But if you're a small services firm where people spend most of their time actually working with clients, but they still need to do the sales and marketing as well, that's kind of where my tool comes in.
Yeah, nice. So, I mean, for a lot of you out there, you might get a prospect that you want. You might then reach out to them, and then you can have different alerts to manage it and follow up and leave different notes and things like that. That's the kind of the basic gist of a CRM. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I think what happens a lot of the times is they're designed for a VP of sales. And so they keep track of tasks that your sales team is doing. But if you're actually trying to sell stuff and do work at the same time, it can be a little bit burdensome. So I took the approach of how much can we automate for you? And so when you're actually in the tool and doing things, you're having conversations with people, doing things where you're actually adding value.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. And so take us through your kind of journey to get the company started, and I guess where public speaking came into the mix for you in the startup or the pre-startup and the growth of the company.
Sure. So I'm a very introverted by nature, and I'm a software developer by training and sort of by temperament. And I took my first job in software development and never intended to do any public speaking or anything like that. That was the last thing I wanted to do. But I ended up sort of accidentally in those situations because, maybe they need someone to go talk about a certain technical area or whatever. And I wasn't particularly good at it, but I wasn't also as terrified of it as some people are. I think there's a huge notion that you have to be afraid of public speaking, and therefore everyone's afraid before they even know what they're afraid of. Yeah. And maybe we can talk a little bit about sort of what does cause me anxiety, but I could go up there and talk. I just wasn't necessarily good. Yeah. And it took me a while to kind of let go of trying to be the smartest person in the room. I think, a lot of us, we get started with quote unquote public speaking in school, where your job is just to show that you learn something and you spit out a bunch of information, which is very, very different from actual public speaking in the real world. So it took me a while to kind of get over how that works and learn to tell stories about myself that would be helpful to my audience. Right? I wanted to convey something to people about what I thought they should be doing differently. Like, that's why they're investing their time to hear me speak. They're not there because I'm Jerry Seinfeld or some great entertainer. I try to keep things humorous, but that's really not why people are investing their time or their money to fly wherever it is they're going to listen to this. So I needed to convey information, and it was kind of odd because when I started, I would try to push as much information out as densely as possible. And I realized that that actually doesn't work very well. Yeah. You have to be able to tell a good story and get people involved in the story. And then their minds open and they start listening and they start learning and they start actually being able to do things differently because of what you told them.
Yeah, I love that, because I think you've touched on two really big points. It's often, well, actually three. I mean, a lot of us begin our first talks that we ever do, our first presentations at school, and they're not, like you say, they're not real life. And they're also usually write out 3 to 5 minutes worth of information onto, cue cards and probably an hour day, and probably onto PowerPoint slides and copy and paste it now, and then just turn and read it. So it's just like a shared reading activity more than actually a presentation on something that you've got some level of expertise in. There's a big difference in the confidence as well when you're speaking about something that you know. But I think you touched on something super important when it comes to what I call expert syndrome. People who are experts in their industry, whether they're the top experts or they just know more than the people in the room, and they either go down the thing of what I know everyone else knows, and so they're really reluctant to speak, and they get a kind of a built up anxiety because they're like, well, what I'm going to teach isn't of any benefit, which it likely mm-hmm. is, or the other one that I know lots of stuff, I'm going to be a benefit to this room. I'm just going to get my fire hydrant out and just soak you all with information. And I think both of those things, if you do one or the other, you're not going to be confident if you think it's not going to be of value, or you're going to oversaturate them with information and you're going to get nowhere. So I think a couple of awesome, awesome insights that you've taken, taken from there. You spoke and you said, could we touch on what kind of gives you anxiety in that regard? What does give you anxiety in different things?
Yeah, I think the main thing for me is standing up in front of a room full of people who, like I said, they've invested a bunch of time, maybe some money as well. And am I going to actually give them something that's meaningful? That was the thing that always drove me nuts and caused me a bunch of anxiety. And it turns out, like so many things, I was approaching that all wrong as well. And it kind of loops back to what you said earlier. I was thinking, gosh, I have to tell them a bunch of stuff they've never heard before. Yeah. Tons of information, tons of value. What can I do to kind of blow their minds? And it's not like you don't want to give them great information, you don't want to blow their minds, that's wonderful. But I kind of had the wrong perspective and I was setting myself up for failure, both as a speaker and also for the very goal that I had for my audience, which was to take something useful away. And it took me a long time, unfortunately, to realize this, but as a software guy, it's like you don't write a bunch of code and then not even test if it works and then go demo it on stage, right? That would be absurd. No one would do that. You would make sure that it works for yourself. You would go show it to a bunch of people. You'd get feedback. So when you go show it off at your keynote, everything is flawless and looks good. And it took me a while to figure out I can do the same thing with a talk. In fact, it's so much easier than writing code. I can just talk to another person and see what their reaction is. I can talk to a small, friendly audience and test out the material the same way a comedian would, the same way a software person would. And it doesn't have to be the first time that these words have ever been uttered on earth when I go talk in front of the big room, right? I don't want to test out something brand new when I'm up on stage. I want to know that this is going to resonate with at least a certain percentage of the audience. And it gets hard because the audience might be different. There might be different demographics sprinkled in. Some people might be experts, some people might be novices, and how do you kind of calibrate that appropriately? But at least you should know before you get up there, hey, what I'm saying is going to be meaningful to a good slice of this audience. And you have control over that if you test it before you get up there. And that's the part that took me forever to realize, and it's extra dumb for me because I'm a software guy. Like, I know how this works in my domain. I just didn't think at first to apply it in speaking.
Yeah, and like you said at the start, a lot of people don't realize what they're afraid of when it comes to public speaking. They make up these stories,
right?
And I think that's one of them. Is it's like, well, all these people must have some sort of special gift who are phenomenal public speakers, or who are these people that are on stage? Therefore, I haven't, because I've never done anything amazing in the public speaking space, so I'm not that great at it. And I think, once you know who your talk is going to before, it makes everything, yeah, a hell of a lot easier. Even if it, like you say, even if it doesn't resonate to everybody perfectly, it's better than missing everybody 100% of the time. Like, yeah, the stand-up comedian is a brilliant example of that. Like, yeah, they try out 5-minute gags to get a 1-hour, you know, tour set. Yeah, the Jerry Seinfelds of the world. He goes fully into it. With regards to, you know, you've obviously used it to help get your business out in front of more people and help it get into the limelight and educate and teach. How did that come about? And what were your kind of, was it accidental that you started getting into the public speaking side of things with regard to your business?
Or absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And how did that happen, and how have you since leveraged it?
Well, I think, like I said, I never set out to be a quote unquote public speaker. That's the last thing I would have imagined. But it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Once you know that the things that you're talking about are relevant and useful and meaningful for a certain audience, saying it to more people is not hard for me, right? It's for me, it's as long as I know that what I'm saying is useful, it's fine. Like if I'm sitting down with you one-on-one and we're having a conversation, obviously it's nice because I can look at your face and I can pick up on the cues and see whether you're interested and so on. You can ask me questions and you can orient me in the way that's going to be useful. And that's kind of where that testing out of the material comes, to make sure that what you're saying is actually useful. And then once you can get up there and know you're going to be useful to a room full of people, for me, it's just about teaching and being helpful. And as long as I know, hey, there's a good chance that this is going to be meaningful and helpful to a good chunk of this room, it's very easy for me to do that. And I think of it one person at a time, right? They say you're supposed to speak to one person at a time in a room. That was a mistake I made at the beginning. I was like, I don't want to look at anyone. I don't want to single anyone out, right? And now I'm like, I want to make sure that as I'm talking, I'm looking at one person and trying to teach them this sentence that I'm about to go through, or this phrase that I'm about to go through. And there's that connection. And for some people, it's going to be boom, exactly what they need. For some people, it's maybe like they've been doing this for 30 years and they already know this, but there's a different energy in the room when you're connected with your audience. So even those people are brought in, and there might be some people who are brand new and they're like still trying to catch up, but they pick up on that energy as well. And they're still going to get more out of it because you're kind of hitting the sweet spot for what's in the room and you're connecting with people. So I found that by being able to stand up and just teach people about my experiences, right? For me, I was a consultant for a long time, coming from a technical background. I was a sales and marketing consultant, and the irony was I was really bad at my own sales and marketing. And so it's great. I get to stand up and tell people, kind of like I'm doing here, right? I was like really bad at public speaking. Here's what I learned. Here's why I'm better now. I was really bad at sales and marketing. Here's what I learned. Here's why I'm better now. And for a lot of the people, if I'm speaking to the right audience, they're going to say, yes, okay, great. I'm in that same boat, or I learned how to get through some of that too. And so it's about connecting. For me, it's about connecting with the audience and helping. I'm not necessarily trying to impress them with being the world's greatest public speaker. Yeah. And the irony is that lets me be relaxed and just focus on the conversation. And people come up to me after and say, hey, that's great. Can you come talk at our group or whatever?
Yeah, nice. And have you actively reached out to groups and organizations and conferences from when you first started? Or is it more the consulting space and going into businesses?
You know, what's funny is and especially because I've been listening to some episodes of your podcast, I'm like, I really should be a little bit more proactive about this. And like I said, it's been all kind of accidental. Like I never asked to do it. I would go talk to a company and they'd say, hey, this is really interesting. Can you come talk to this group that I run? I think some people there would be interested and so on. And I've just kind of let that happen to me. I have not done a good job about being proactive about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's proof in that pudding though, is from your side of things, it can also be, yeah, cool. Hey, do you know any other businesses in this space that I should be reaching out to? Which is
great point.
You know, which is probably the easiest thing because they've already validated you.
Right.
Yeah, if you get a testimonial from said company and it's, you know, aligned with another company, I mean, you don't necessarily have to go out there chasing as much if what you're giving is already quality. I mean, a lot of the people listening, they're not in the space of what they're giving isn't quality. It's that no one's heard it yet.
Right.
Yeah. You know, no one, they haven't been in front of a company, or they haven't been a keynote speaker at a conference or anything like that. So they haven't got that awesome talk that they can leverage off, and it's getting that first side of things, which is, yeah, and I mean, that's, you know your value proposition. Making CRM better for a company equals more sales. It makes, you know, better non-burnt out salespeople. It makes, you know, things not fall through the cracks. It's a good solution to any company is, hey, why don't we make your sales pipeline more efficient, make you make more sales, and have a better bottom line, and staff that are likely on commission make more money and are happier and whatnot, and you keep your staff and all the rest of the things that flow on through there. So it's a, I wouldn't say it's an easier step in, but if you're in the motivational speaker niche, trying to get into those business and going, hey, I'll come and give your company a bit of a rah-rah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a lot harder to give them that tangible, a benefit, I guess, at the back end of it.
Sure.
When it comes to what you present, is it fairly similar to each company? Like, I'm assuming you're multi-industry or different industries within different spaces. Do you have to tailor much, or is it more the fundamentals of sales and CRM similar across different industries?
Sure. Well, I always want people to feel like they're getting a talk that's tailored for them. And so I always like to ask whoever's asking me to speak, who's going to be there, what do they want to listen to, what do they need, what are their burning issues, and so on. And usually they're pretty similar. And at this point, I have so many slides from decks that I've done, I can usually pull things together fairly quickly and have something that's tailored to exactly what they need, right? Sometimes I grab some extra things from a different presentation. Sometimes I'll get rid of some stuff that doesn't apply in this particular case, but I don't really have to reinvent the wheel each time. But depending on what they're doing, there may be some new wrinkles, and I want to make sure that that's addressed, because I don't want people to leave and say, that was kind of interesting, but it's a little generic. It doesn't apply to me. The whole point is I want this to resonate with them at a fundamental level. And it doesn't mean that I have to do everything custom from scratch each time, but I want that's the feeling I want the audience to walk away with.
And I mean, I'm sure you've had insights from consulting in past lives. When it comes to negotiating, to talking prices, to valuing your time, and those sorts of things, any insights for people there?
Sure. I was just talking about this earlier today, but there's basically a price floor, which is your marginal cost.
Yep.
And then there's a price ceiling, which is the perceived differential value that the audience receives, or whoever's buying. I shouldn't say the audience, right? It's whoever's writing the check. What perceived differential value do they perceive in what you're doing? And I think this kind of goes into, what model do you have as a speaker? If you're only making money as a speaker, then how you price your speaking is extremely, extremely important. If speaking is more of a door opener to other opportunities, which I think it is for a lot of people, and sort of more where I'm at, how you price the speaking itself is less important than, are you opening the right doors? And so you don't necessarily want to underprice and undervalue what you do, but you're not trying to make every last buck as a speaker. It's more important that you get in front of the right audience.
Yeah, I think that's super important. It's interesting, because I've got a friend, and he does a lot of writing, but that ends up getting him invited to different companies, and now he generally goes in and takes seminars at Fortune 500 companies around the world. And he said if he sends them a proposal, when they're going back and forth, and it's, say, it's a half day, 4 hour thing, and it's anything less than what averages out to be, say, $5,000 an hour, mm-hmm. So $20,000 for a morning presentation, they won't even look at it, because their perceived value on the minimum that they want their top level executives thing is like, well, if you only charge yourself out $1,000 an hour, then you're probably not good right. enough for our company. Then you try that at your local small business, and they're going to go, yeah, cool, that's our next 3 months worth of
right.
worth of revenue or profit or something. So yeah, good luck on that one. So I mean, I think a lot of it is, yeah, it's just understanding who you're speaking to, and like you say, getting on stage should be the first step, not the last step. Unless you're it doesn't really matter. I really struggle to think of too many too many speakers who don't have software or coaching or other services off the back of it that they can then offer to their audience. But no, I think that's a it's an awesome insight. I just want to get your kind of your thoughts. How has speaking benefited your business? Like without it, if you weren't getting into these audiences, how would have it affected the growth and the startup side of things?
Well, obviously it would restrict the growth, right? There's customers that I get from talking and that I wouldn't have got if I hadn't spoken. And I think the other thing is that even in this age of, you know, we're here looking at each other halfway across the world, which is totally awesome. And phone calls and email and automation and websites and all that, there's something about being in a room with somebody that is different and gives you an extra level of interaction and trust building and sort of sizing each other up that you don't get any other way. And so, especially when you say something like CRM, there's probably hundreds or thousands of different CRM systems. How are you going to pick one, right? If you can listen to somebody talk and say, okay, not only does this guy seem like he knows what he's talking about and he seems like he's got the basics down, but I kind of get his philosophy, his way of looking at the world. That's kind of the way I look at the world. That's much more powerful than anything that you can convey easily online. And it doesn't have to be a CRM or a software package, but whatever it is you're selling, right? Especially if you're selling some kind of consulting or services like that, where the trust factor is even more important, just being able to be physically in the same room with somebody is a huge deal.
Mm. I think if you're, like you said, there might be thousands of different options out there, but if you're the only option because you're the one in front of them speaking, yeah.
Right.
And yeah, you're the cream that floats to the top. Awesome. Well, I appreciate the insights because I know there's a lot of business owners who would have definitely taken, or there's a lot of people who would have taken a lot out of that because it seemed you've gone the full spectrum of like, oh my God, I don't want to speak at all to, okay, yep, I can speak to, hey, look, I've developed storytelling and I've developed, a whole offering off the back of it and how you now craft and develop your speech. So thank you so much for that. If people want to check out your CRM, if they want to find out more about you, if they want to get you into their business, where can they go? What can they do?
Sure. Well, thanks for the opportunity to pitch myself a bit. You can find Mimirin at mimirin.com, mimirin.com. You can also find my podcast at salesfornerds.io. And kind of like you're out there busting the myth that public speaking is some awful thing that people shouldn't do. Sort of my goal is to bust the myth that nerdy people can't do sales and marketing and to help those people start and grow their businesses. So if you want to check that out, go to either of those sites, or you can also hit me up at ruben@mimirin.com. And I assume you can put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, I can. So you can get all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. I definitely recommend checking it out. If you want to, we all want to improve ourselves. We're all selling every day, whether it just be our image or our knowledge, or it's actually our business or the company that we work for. So go and check out Sales for Nerds podcast. But yeah, we'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Look, Ruben, it's been an absolute pleasure. Like you say, different sides of the world, but I think there's been an awesome transfer of energy. So thanks.
Thanks so much, Victor. Thanks for having me.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.